It's my honor to introduce our guest speaker tonight, Brother Gene Clower. He is, I believe, vacationing at Dauphin Island, but asked several weeks ago if he could come and address us tonight to give us more information about another good, great mission work that he is involved in. Truth for Today, World Mission School. I'm acquainted somewhat with this work in that I have visited a website that he's going to tell us about on numerous occasions. You have benefited indirectly from this website, last of which, in the Wednesday night class in the fellowship room, those of you who studied Daniel with me, I drew heavily upon some information that I gleaned from this site. And I'm very interested and thankful that we all have the opportunity to see how much of this great Bible material is being made available throughout the world. Brother Gene Clower has preached for over 40 years. He's familiar with the pulpit and has been involved in this mission effort for a number of years. So let's give our attention to Brother Gene Clower.
Thank you, David. I appreciate so very much the wonderful opportunity to be with you tonight and be able to share some things with you. As David says, we're working with Truth for Today. We're traveling. My wife and I are traveling every Sunday, almost. We worship with the congregation in Buford, Georgia. Billy and Gloria Williams send you their regards. We worship with them there. And they told me to be sure and give their regards to you as when I came. I appreciate that opportunity to do just that. I want to ask you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Beautiful passage here that opens our eyes to some things that I want you to see tonight in the very beginning. Isaiah tells us in that first verse that in the year that King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the whole temple where he walked. Now, I'm paraphrasing some, you know, if you're following along, you notice that. But I want you to pause for a moment, and I want you to be able to feel, I want you to be able to get the emphasis that Isaiah is placing upon what he's feeling at this moment. Can we tap into him for a moment? Here he sees the awesomeness of God. Here he sees the majesty of God himself. An upward vision of God. Well, we're not through with it yet. The second verse introduces us to some seraphim. The seraphim were there. We don't know anything about seraphim, but what we can read in this verse, the only place in the Bible we find them. We know from this verse a description of them. They have six wings. With two they fly. With two they cover their face. With two they cover their feet. We know that they are saying to each other, kind of an antiphonal type singing type thing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with His glory. Now go back for a moment with me to Isaiah. Tap into that emotion again. Not only did he see the majesty and the awesomeness of God, he heard the seraphim as they're proclaiming the holiness of God. Now I want you to understand something. You cannot come into a vision of the holiness of God. You cannot begin to comprehend the holiness of God without feeling your own inadequacies and your own shortcomings. Isaiah did. And every case in the Bible where we find someone who has gotten this picture of the holiness of God also has gotten the picture of their own sinfulness, their own shortcomings, their own inabilities, their own unworthiness. Isaiah said, "Woe is me. For I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He knew his shortcomings. He knew his own unworthiness. He knew by the vast contrast between himself and the holiness of God, he knew that great chasm that was there. So do we. But then Isaiah, after the seraphim had taken the tongs and taken a coal of fire from the altar, touched his lips and purged him from his sin, then Isaiah got an outward vision of the lost. He heard the Lord say, "Whom shall we send? Or who is there that will go for us?" And immediately Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Do you think for a moment that Isaiah had any concept of the scope of that for which he was volunteering? Oh, he knew God's message needed to be gotten out to mankind. He understood that. He understood that the children of Israel needed to know this message from God. He understood that. But do you think he really had a concept of the scope of that? I doubt seriously that he did. And I wonder if we share that same vision of the lost that Isaiah shared. We know the Lord has told us to go preach the gospel to every creature. We know he's told us to go into all nations, teach them, make disciples of them, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We understand that. But do we have a concept of the scope of that particular vision? Do you realize there are 6,450,000,000 people on the face of this earth? I don't know about you. Maybe it's because my mind's so small. But that number just kind of goes over my head. I have difficulty comprehending a number that big. I can't put faces on them, David. You know, it's difficult for me to understand that. Maybe I can illustrate it for you. Let's suppose we could take 6,450,000,000 people and we could line them up in a straight line, single file. We'll allow 18 inches space. You know, when the architect designed this building and the seating capacity, he allowed you 18 inches of seating space to tell you how much. Some of us like a little more than 18 inches, don't we? To be comfortable. But let's just allow 18 inches on this single file line and say we make a single file line of 6,450,000,000 people. Do you realize it would be a line 3,665,000 miles long? I can't comprehend that either. Now, I know how far it is back to Georgia. I grew up in Arkansas, and I lived there for most of my life. I know how far it is. I can comprehend that, but 3,665,000? Miles? No? Let me illustrate this way. Let's suppose we could wrap that single file line right around the equator of the earth, the circumference of the earth. We could run it around the equator of the earth. Do you realize that it would wrap around the equator of the earth 146.6 times? Well, let's look at it another way. Astrodome in Houston, Texas, we'll say seats about 50,000 people. That's approximately the seating capacity. And let's suppose that we could bring 50,000 people in. David could preach to them for an hour. We could allow 30 minutes for that 50,000 to get out and another 50,000 to get in. That'd be an impossibility, but let's just allow that. And every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we're preaching to 50,000 people around the clock. You realize it'd take 22 years, 32 and a half days to preach to that many people if the number was static, if it remained the same? Now, why bring all of that up? Do we have that same vision of the lost? Do we have that same concept that Isaiah had? That's what I'm trying to get across to us. You see, we're living in times in which the preaching of the gospel should be a major emphasis on our part. The New Testament places a major emphasis on it. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says it's through the foolishness of preaching that God chose to save those that believe. We understand that, don't we? Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse 45 said, "It is written of the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and has learned from the Father comes to me." Those who come to Jesus must hear and learn. There's a necessity for preaching. Or the Bible tells us again in Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, a passage that, well, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We understand that, don't we? Notice the next verse. Verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they be sent? You see, what Paul's saying is not all of us can go preach. Not all of us have the opportunity. Not all of us have the means. But those of us who can't go preach can send to the best of our ability, to the best of our resources, to the best of our opportunities. We can share in that preaching of the gospel in just that way. The Bible tells us also in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What treasure are we talking about? The gospel of Jesus Christ. What are the earthen vessels? That's you and I. That's our physical bodies. We're the containers, if you please, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, we're told that in a great house there are all kinds of vessels. I'll paraphrase a little here. You can read along. There are vessels of gold and vessels of silver and vessels of wood, some of honor and some of dishonor. And every time I read that, I begin wondering, what kind of vessel am I? What kind of vessel are you? Is it a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor? Are we containers of the gospel, just holding it to ourselves? Or are we sharing it with other people, as the New Testament tells us we must? You see, in 1989, my brother Eddie Clore, who's on the Bible faculty at Harding University, went to Tex Williams, president of World Bible School, and asked Tex to give him names and addresses of all those who had finished all the Bible correspondence courses World Bible School had to offer, who had obeyed the gospel, and who were trying to teach and preach in their own village, in their own communities around the world. Now, we're talking about people who don't have the opportunity for schools of preaching. We're talking about people who don't have the opportunity to come to our Christian colleges and universities. We're talking about people who are trying to make a living for their family during the week and who are trying to preach on the weekend in their own village, in their own community, in their own culture around the world. Tex gave us 1,452 names. That now has grown to over 40,000 names around the world. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. Several years ago, three men pooled their resources and built for us this office building in Searcy, Arkansas. 34 offices, a couple of mail rooms, loading docks, things of that nature. And incidentally, you can't see it, but just on the right side of the screen, there's a street that goes by there. Searcy, Arkansas put up the street sign and named the street Great Commission Boulevard. We like that. Actually, just between us, it's really the driveway going into the loading docks. But we have the street sign up nonetheless. We appreciate that. Not one penny of Truth for Today's money went into that building. That was donated to us by three men. We present are written by some of the best writers in our brotherhood, some of the best scholars in our brotherhood. And we present it in this kind of format because of a couple of reasons. First of all, the ease of mailing. Each one of these issues will contain, if it were put in book form, would contain about 140 to 150 page book. We're sending that out every month. That makes it easy for them to handle. It's easy for us to mail. It's easy for them to pass on to somebody else to read and to pass on to others so they can read it as well. And we're grateful for that. We're in 156 nations around the world. And since this slide was made, the number is well over 40,000 issues per month that are going out around the world. This results in about 400,000 baptisms a year. Now, I want to pause for a minute. I want to let that number sink in. I want to let it sink in because of this reason. You're going to ask me, how do you get that number? Well, here's how we get it. They're obviously not on the field where we can document every baptism. That's not the question here. We're sending to 40,000, say, individuals, preachers and teachers that are preaching in their own culture, in their own community around the world. And we estimate that if they baptize 10 persons a year, that's 400,000. Some of them won't baptize that many, we know. Some of them will baptize far more than that, we know. So we feel that a pretty good average would be 10 per preacher receiving the publication around the world. Now, we understand something else. We understand that Truth for Today is not solely responsible for those 400,000 baptisms. It's the men on the field that are. But we understand, secondly, that we have some kind of influence in giving them the training and the materials necessary for the preaching of the gospel to their community and to their area where they are. We understand something else. That if 40,000 men receive truth for today, as they receive one of these issues, it's going to be handed to their extended family. It's going to be read by people in their village and in their community. And we expect as many as 500,000 people to read each issue that we send out. And we expect, as those preachers preach the messages out of those issues, that as many as 1 million people will hear those messages. It's not surprising when you stop and think of that, the number of baptisms that I mentioned a moment ago, is it? We're expecting a lot of results from what we're doing. Here's some comparative research. We understand that this is probably the largest in-depth printed material in our brotherhood. Now, I said the largest in-depth printed material that goes out every month in our brotherhood. Secondly, we understand that World Bible School sends out more single Bible correspondence course lessons than we do. We don't do that. We understand that the World Christian Broadcast Community covers a lot more land area than we do. With their towers in Alaska, they cover the entire globe. But you have to have a shortwave radio in order to get their message. We understand that Eastern European Mission sends out more Bibles than we do. That's not what we're doing. We're sending out Bible materials that enable individuals to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here are some of the languages and some of the areas. And obviously, all of the areas covered in red, not everyone there receives truth for today. Only teachers and preachers that we know about. Obviously, there's some we don't know about. A year or so ago, I was talking to a man who just came back from the Ukraine. He had visited a small congregation that spoke the Russian language in the Ukraine, and the man teaching the class was using Truth for Today. After service, he asked him, "How long have you been receiving Truth for Today?" He said, "I don't get it." He said, "This copy has been passed down to me through 5 different congregations." He gets it now, and so do those 5 congregations. And in the Russian language, every congregation that we know about, and I emphasize that we know about, receives Truth for Today. Their teachers and their preachers, that's just one illustration of what we're talking about in the Russian language. 1,000 issues per month go out in the Russian language. I want to show you some commentaries for 2 reasons. When we published the material where we covered the book of Acts, it took 11 issues to cover the book of Acts. We put those in commentary form. It took 2 volumes, over 1,100 pages, to contain the material that was in 11 issues on the book of Acts. If you go to a Christian college, enroll in a course on the book of Acts, you won't receive that much material. There's no way they can cover it during that period of time. We did the same thing with the book of Revelation. We did the same thing with the life of Christ, the harmony of the gospel. We also now have one out on the book of Psalms. We have another one out since this slide was made on the book of Ezekiel. And another one will be coming out in a very short period of time. Now, I said I was showing you these commentaries for 2 reasons. One, I want you to know the amount of material, the volume of material that we're sending out. And secondly, I want you to know that you need this set of commentaries. You need them in your library. The church needs them in their. Jim Bill McIntyre in Nashville, Tennessee says this is the best commentary series in our brotherhood. If you don't have them, you need them. You can see me after service and I can tell you where you can contact somebody to get them. I'm not selling books, but I'm telling you how to get in contact with them if you're interested in that. What are we doing in the Middle East? Well, we're sending material into Egypt and Sudan and Kuwait and Iraq. Wait just a minute. Let me step aside and give you just a side note on Iraq. If you have friends or relatives serving in the armed forces in Iraq at this present time and you're making a care package to send to them, give me your name and address after service. I'll provide you 2 copies of a book entitled Becoming a Faithful Christian in Arabic that includes the New Testament in the back. The first 300 pages of that book are just fundamental, basic New Testament Christianity. Who's God? Who's Christ? Who's the Holy Spirit? What's the church? How do you worship? A recipe for unleavened bread. What do you do when you can't find Welch's grape juice? It's not known around the world. Well, there's the information that you can take raisins and boil raisins and use the reconstituted grape juice for the fruit of the vine. Practical things for becoming a New Testament Christian. And the last 200 pages is a copy of the New Testament. Now, they can't pass that out, and they can't hand that out in Iraq. Soldier can't. But if he has it somewhere where it can be seen, and somebody comes to him and says, "May I have that book?" he can give it to them. We'll be glad to furnish you two copies in Arabic, one in English, and a cover letter explaining that so the soldier won't get in trouble. If you would like to include that in the care package, give me your name and address after service. We'll talk about that at that time. Sending material into Israel, into Jordan, Syria, United Arab Emirates. We're sending material into Libya. Some 11 different nations right now are receiving about 800 issues a month in the Arabic language. I wish you could read some of the letters that we're getting from people in those nations. You can't go there with the Bible. You can't go there and preach the gospel. But when they write us and say, "Would you send us this material?" we're glad to send it to them. We want the gospel there. We also have a gospel preacher who's ready to go into Iraq and preach the gospel. He was born in Baghdad, Iraq. He's a graduate of the University of Baghdad with an engineering degree. He's anxious to go back and establish the Lord's church there and preach the gospel and support himself as a civil engineer. As soon as we can get him into the country, he's going. I'm not sure his family's going back with him, but he's going. What a challenge it is and what an opportunity we have there. You've heard of Sudan as well. Sudan has been riddled with internal strife, civil war, genocide where all whole tribes have been wiped out. Largely now it's been divided into two sections, with the northern half belonging to the Islamic militants and the southern half having somewhat religious freedom. We're trying to raise funds enough to print 100,000 copies of that book in Arabic and be able to send that into the southern part. We have gospel preachers around the border who say they're willing to take that book and distribute it in the lower part of Sudan. As soon as we can raise the funds in order to print that, we'll do just that and get the book there and get them sent to them. Incidentally, this book that I'm talking about, a couple of years ago I spoke at Tupelo, Mississippi. The West Main congregation had a mission forum, and they invited all their missionaries to come in and speak and allowed me to speak as well. One of their missionaries was a French-Canadian. He came to me and said, "Brother Gene, I want you to know something. I have that book, Becoming a Faithful Christian in French, in our building." A 75-year-old Jehovah's Witness came in, picked up that book, took it home and read it, came back the next day and said, "I want to be baptized." It's a great book to use in that particular kind of work. In India, we're currently in three different languages. In 1995, I went to Bangalore, India, set up a translation center in the Telugu language. And here's what we do. It's very difficult to set up those translation centers. You have to find a man who is a faithful, dedicated gospel preacher. We have to find that man who is very conversant in his language and in the English language, who can take an English manuscript, translate that into the culture and language of his people. When that's done, he then emails that to our office in Searcy, Arkansas, where we have someone there who can speak. It sets down with a gospel preacher with the original manuscript, reads it back to him. Takes 18 to 20 hours to read one of those back. We spend that time because we want to make sure it's a good translation. And once we've done that, we're not through with it yet, then we send it to a linguistic college who grades it on syntax and word usage and sentence structure and all the things that involved in making up a good language. And we're getting 8 translations. We want it not only to be sound, we want it to fit the culture of that people, and we want it to be quality material. And that's what's being done in those three, Hindi, Telugu, and Tamil, as far as India is concerned. We're adding some other languages. We want to add five more. We're adding two at the present time. Bill Klein, a gospel preacher, is working with us full-time, setting up those translation and distribution centers. You see, it costs $3 an issue for us to publish one of these in America. We've learned that in India, we can have a double issue, print two at one time, for 50 cents. And we can mail it in India, that double issue, for about 3 cents. So it makes common sense for us to use it in that particular way. And that's what we're trying to do. He's setting those up now. When I made this presentation in Beaufort some time ago, a couple of years ago, and went out, I explained that it costs $22,500 a year for a translation center. That's $6,000 for a translator, the rest for the center and the distribution center. One man met me at the door when I came out, and he said, I'll take one of them. I'll provide that money for one of those translation centers. I know another congregation that did the same thing. So we've got two covered. We've got some other funds that are being used as well in trying to set up other translation centers there, and we're working on that very hard at the present time. This is Thomas and Jane Ping. Thomas Ping was on the faculty of the Weihan University in Weihan, China. Thomas was converted by what I call silent missionaries. These are members of the Churches of Christ, not necessarily associated with Truth for Today, members of the Churches of Christ who go to China and teach in the colleges and universities there and study with individuals in the evenings and on the weekends. Can't meet in a public situation and preach like we're doing here. But they meet one-on-one and they can talk to individuals there. And Thomas and Jane were converted just that way. They came to the States. He was baptized here. Thomas has a master's degree in linguistics. He has a master's degree in Christian studies. He has a PhD degree in cross-cultural education. His wife Jane has a master's degree in marketing. And they're setting up the distribution centers and getting things ready in China. Incidentally, he went to China last fall. Met with the third highest official in the government concerning religion. I don't know what his title would be in the communist government there. He had him to read this particular book. After he read it, he said, I want every Christian to read that material. And he gave us approval to mail material into 32 provinces in China. Never been done. 17,000 copies a month in the Chinese language into China. What an opportunity. What an open door that is for us. And we're hoping that he's going to expand the number of provinces. We literally believe that he will in the very near future. Here's the languages that we're currently involved in. You can see some of them there. A translation center in San Jose, Costa Rica translates into the Spanish language. We send material into about 30 different Spanish-speaking nations. In Lyons, France, we have a translator translating into the French language. And we're sending materials into about 30 different French-speaking nations. In Donetsk, Ukraine, we're translating into the Russian language, as I've already mentioned. And on we could go with what we're talking about there. You get on the internet. David's already told you about that. You'll pull up a page similar to this. You won't pull up this page most likely because this one's in Spanish, unless you speak Spanish. But if you pull up this page, you'll notice a number of languages on the right side of the page. There's some 9 or 10 different languages there. English is the one you would pull up, obviously. But if you know someone who speaks Spanish, a Hispanic maybe that you are conversant with, that you work with, or somebody that you're associated with that speaks Spanish, print off some Spanish lessons. Ask them to read them. What a wonderful way to open the door, to give them an opportunity to say, here's what the Bible teaches. On the left-hand side of the page, up near the top, is a title that says Lesson Search. You can type in the subject matter, you can type in the text that you want, and hit search, and it'll pull up all the lessons that are available to that. Thousands of lessons are there that you can use in numbers of ways, certainly in research, such as David has used in classes and things of that material. That material is good for that. What a wonderful privilege it is to be able to use that. And we want to encourage you to check out our webpage, BibleCourses.com. If you get on the webpage, write that down, BibleCourses.com. Use it to the glory of God. Use it to reach those who are lost. Well, the question is, what can you do to help? Let me summarize some things for you. You understand, sending out 40,000 packets a month over that. You understand the enormous expense that's involved. The printing material, the postage, and all of that. If you can imagine 40,000 packets going out of a mailroom to 156 nations around the world, you can get some kind of idea of the enormity of the alone. How does that work? How are we able to do that? Only by individuals like you and congregations like this pooling their efforts together. Remember, I asked the question, do we have that concept of the loss that Isaiah had? Are we willing to say, Lord, here am I, send me? Are we willing to do what Paul says? How shall they preach except they be sent? Individually, you can help in numbers and numbers of ways. See me after service. I'll explain some of them to you. I'm challenging you to think about that individually, how you can help. I'm asking the elders of the congregation here to consider this work, to be able to make a single one-time contribution to Truth for Today, or better yet, put it in the budget. So that every month the check would be sent to Truth for Today. What a wonderful way. Began in 1989, overseen by the elders of the Champion Church of Christ in Houston, Texas. Editorial offices in Searcy. One of the largest global mission works in our brotherhood. Well attested to, well affirmed, well proven, and well deserving of your help and your support. What a wonderful way to reach out and help others around the world. Use the commentaries. I'm not going to belabor that point. But I want you to understand they're available and you should use them. The material there is tremendous. I also have with me in the car outside two or three little 10-minute videos. Videos were made by my brother and summarize pretty much what I've said tonight. If you know of a congregation that I've not been to, and you could present that little video to the elders there and ask them to view it and ask them to set up a time for me to come and make that presentation, I would appreciate it. It would be a wonderful way you could help me. And you could help this great work. We want you to do that if you possibly can. And then, too, I never end without this one thought. I don't know whether you have a will or not. If you don't, you need one. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not trying to drum up business for lawyers. But if you don't have a will, you need one. I don't care what age you are. If you have a will and it's not already there, put a little codicil, a little paragraph at the end on it that says something like this. Upon your death, after all expenses are paid, after everything is settled and done, whatever happens to be left over, whatever that estate may be, whether small or large, 10% of it would go to world missions. I hope it'd be Truth for Today, but world missions nonetheless. That's not asking much, is it? 10% after you're finished with it. 10% of whatever's left over. Wherever I go, I make that statement. I end with that. Maybe tonight, something I've said has made you aware of the fact that you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. If all this work, and believe me, it is a lot of work. If all of this work, if all of this effort, if all of this expense is going to reach the lost around the world, I want you to know something tonight. If you're not a Christian, you're just as important as any of those people around the world. And we want you to be saved. We want you to know the gospel of Jesus Christ in obedience to His Word. We want to share with you the family of God and to be part of that family. Be part of that unity. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess that faith in Christ before men. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Or if you're a child of God, maybe I've awakened in you a need for greater commitment. I hope I have. I hope that's the case. Maybe you can make that commitment wherever you are. You can make that decision there. Maybe you need to make a response. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, we encourage you to come right now while together we stand and sing.